Like that? The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. McManus, please.
7:46 PM.
Thank you. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on January 5, 2017. Faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Huntington County Democrat, the Huntington Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. McManus, may we please have a roll call, sir?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Here.
Mrs. DeMurley. Dr. Foy.
Here.
Mrs. McHugh.
Here.
Mr. Malloy.
Here.
Mrs. Olasky.
Here.
Mrs. Redaguda.
Here.
Mrs. Vanderoff.
Here.
Ms. Grant.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Mrs. McHugh, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this
Absolutely.
Evening?
Absolutely.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you please be the process guardian
Sure.
for tonight's meeting, sir?
Yes, I'm happy to.
Thank you. Well, this is fun that the board gets to do this twice in a row. I'd like to ask Ms. Kendra Swindow to please come forward. Here. Stand here where people can see.
Oh, okay. Hi, everyone.
Hello. She can see right over me, so it's not really a problem.
Yes.
The Board of Education this evening would like to recognize Ms. Swindow for her athletic accomplishments and achievement above and beyond what most people do. So last month, you know, we recognized Mr. Brent Ruge. We have another individual on our staff who has accomplished something absolutely outstanding, and we'd like to take a moment to acknowledge her. So we have here a proclamation that I would like to read to everybody.
Okay.
You want to share with us?
No, I'm good. Thank
You're
you.
Good? Okay, good. Clinton Township Board of Education, proclamation for Ms. Kendra Swindow. Whereas Kendra Swindow set high expectations for athletic performance, and whereas she worked hard, investing hours of physical, mental, and emotional discipline and endurance. And whereas she adopted the performance priorities and goals, and whereas she competed in the Ironman, probably should be called the Iron Woman, 70.3 Atlantic City, beginning at sunrise.
God, that's early. Yeah, the sun wasn't even up. Yeah, lots of headlamps.
With a 1.2 mile shelter swim in the beautiful back bays of Atlantic City, entering 2.5 times loop bike course via the Atlantic City Expressway. Cars or no cars?
No cars.
No cars? And finishing with a 13.1 mile course run on the world famous Atlantic City Boardwalk. Now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township School District Board of Education proclaims its immense pride in Kendra Swindow. Be it further resolved, we're not done yet,
oh boy.
That the Clinton Township Board of Education joins with the entire school community in congratulating Kendra for demonstrating the determination, strength, and dedication in achieving an ambitious goal resulting in the completion of the Iron Woman.
Thank you.
70.3 Atlantic City on September 17th, 2017. Furthermore, we appreciate and acknowledge that Kendra is a role model who daily exhibits these same outstanding attributes for our students and for all members of our school community. On behalf of the Clinton Township Board of Education, congratulations.
Thank you.
very close to this, or I'll just project. I am not comfortable being the center of attention. I've made that very clear. But there are some people that I do need to thank, because you cannot do stuff like this on your own. I was lucky enough to have my son with me tonight. His sister's at home. They're both freshmen at Voorhees High School, and I'm very proud of them and all their support. Carrie Muller, my colleague, who the day before I left to do the race bought me some awesome socks that said she believed she could, and on the other side, so she did. And Chelsea, who went out of her way to do some very sneaky stuff with our principal and our vice principal to honor both Brent and I on the opening day, and all the support from the teachers. When I got brought down that first day, I was a little frustrated, I'll be honest, because I am happy to put other people in the center, but I like to step back. But it was through what Judy and Michelle did that kept me going. Because anyone that's ever done a triathlon, the worst part is the swim. You can practice and practice, but when you get in that water with 1,200 other people and they're hitting you, and it's crazy. And I was ready to quit, and I just kept saying, you can't do this. You have all the kids at Clinton Township rooting for you. She had them all holding up pictures of myself and Brent. You're teaching kids that with setting goals, you can do anything. And I wasn't going to let my son down or my daughter down either. So even though I have a huge fear of jellyfish, they might as well be a great white shark. And as I was swimming and I went in and I felt something and it said, oh dear God, please let that be seaweed. And it wasn't. I still was able to finish. And it was because of everyone's support. And I'm signed up for another one, so we'll see. And it's just to prove that anyone, you know, any of us amateur athletes can do anything. So thank you.
Going to move on to the next portion of our president's comments and report. On many occasions, the Clinton Township Board of Education has clearly stated and affirmed that it is fully committed to providing the best education possible to the children of Clinton Township while being fiscally responsible to its taxpayers. As a result of this clear commitment, we are fully engaged, remain informed, and are aware of those events or actions that may positively or negatively impact or interfere with the educational and financial integrity of the district. In 2015, the board began to see significant fluctuations in the township's ability to turn over the tax monies it collects consistent with our longstanding tax payment schedule. The district began a dialogue with the mayor when school tax payments remitted by the township became repetitively erratic, and the township proposed a change to the monthly tax payment schedule that the district had approved and provided to them. During a series of dialogue, the township asked the district to provide some analysis so that they could better understand the school district's finances. The district delivered the information that the township requested. Moving forward in time, on April 24th of 2017, the Board of Education approved the school tax payment schedule for the 2017-18 school year and sent it to the township. This is the normal course of business for the board at this time of the year. The district then reached out to the mayor and asked if the township could commit to and meet the payment schedule that the board had approved in April of 2017. Despite several requests made by the board, the mayor would not commit in writing to meet the district's necessary tax payment schedule. We would like to thank the township for making timely payments during the months of September of 2017, where they were early with their payment, and for their on-time school tax payment in October. However, at times during the 2017-18 school year, school tax payments from the township still do not meet the district's schedule. This evening, in order to provide some clarity regarding this financial challenge, Mr. John Barrett and Mr. Joseph Kelly will present information regarding the relationship of the Clinton Township school budget and Clinton Township municipal finances, specifically property tax funding of local school government, of local governments. Both Mr. Barrett and Mr. Kelly have extensive backgrounds in both municipal and school district finances and budgets. And I'd just like to give you a quick overview of both of these gentlemen's background. Mr. Barrett attended Queens College in New York, where he received a Bachelor of Science degree in accounting. He worked as a municipal and school board auditor for the accounting firm of Hutchinson, Farrell, and Allison, where he became a certified municipal finance officer through the state of New Jersey. Mr. Barrett then became an audit supervisor with the firm Ford, Scott, Seidenberg, and Kennedy, where he led audit teams performing various audits of school boards and municipalities. He worked as a financial advisor for Merrill Lynch and Marcovius Securities, where he earned the credential of certified financial manager and aided private clients and corporations managing their assets along with providing funding sources for growth and expansion. Mr. Barrett became the chief financial officer of Ewing Township and helped them to have early release from the state of New Jersey's Distressed Cities program. Mr. Kelly graduated from Fairfield University. He has a Bachelor's of Science in Accounting. He has earned a CPA, is a registered municipal accountant. He's a public school accountant, a certified municipal finance officer. He has a certificate of eligibility as a business administrator for schools. He has a background as a chief financial officer in public accounting and is an executive with extensive experience in financial and strategic business planning. Currently, Mr. Kelly is the Chief Financial Officer for the Passaic Valley Sewage Commission in Newark, New Jersey. At this time, I'd like to introduce both gentlemen and request that you give us your presentation, please. Sir.
Thank you. The audio seems to have died on your...
Oh, thank you. Just here.
Can everybody hear me in the audience? This is Joe Kelly. Okay. We'll move this a little closer. This is Joe Kelly, and he's my associate, and together we designed a report that we're going to highlight tonight. This is somewhat of a boring topic. It is municipal finance. Do we have this on? Can we stick this thing in Alfred? How do we do this? Okay, hope for the best. Hello? I'm not a recording engineer, I apologize. So I'll get as close as possible to this. Just to reiterate, this is somewhat of a boring topic. Nothing that really comes up in dinner time negotiations, to discussions, but I hope tonight that for a few brief slides that we'll be able to educate the audience, and clearly the board is well versed in this. We were retained in order to look at the municipal finances of Clinton Township, in addition to the problems that the Board of Education had in receiving tax payments. So I'd like to go over a few points here for information purposes. The Clinton Township School District and Clinton Township are separate legal entities, each governed by elected officials acting as the respective entities' board of directors. You have a school board, you have a town council. Although separate legal entities, both the Clinton Township School District and the township rely largely on local municipal property taxes to fund their budgetary operations, also known as the school levy and the municipal levy. New Jersey law designates that the local municipal government unit, in this example the township, to levy and collect the property taxes not only for its own operations, but also for the Hunterdon County and local school district and regional school district. That's also, if you had a fire district, that would be another tax that they would raise as well. The township has a fiduciary responsibility to levy, collect, and to pay to the respective entities the property taxes collected on their behalf. Those taxes are collected four times a year, the first one being February, May, August, and November. And there is a payment schedule that the school board petitions the town to pay them taxes so they can make payroll, debt service, operational expenditures for the district. The township and the county government operate on a calendar year, and the school district's on a fiscal year. So the township and the county, they work on a 1-1, say 17 to 12-31 17. The school boards in the state operate from a July 1st period of time to the succeeding June 30th. That's what considers them a fiscal year. Now, as far as the calendar versus fiscal year, and what is it, why does it matter? The township levies all property taxes, the township, county, local school, and regional high school, on the calendar year basis under which it operates. Due to the difference in the calendar year versus fiscal year, the July 1st to June 30th, school property taxes are essentially levied 6 months in advance. When the township fiscal year ends on December 31st, it has already billed the property taxpayers for the school taxes through the following June 30th. The question comes into play. If the township bills school property taxes in advance, shouldn't there be plenty of cash on hand to pay bills? The answer is yes, unless the municipality employs a financial device known as deferred school taxes. That's really what the problem is here tonight, or has been for a while. The New Jersey budget regulations allow the deferral of school taxes, which are collected in the calendar year but not fully due to the school districts until the following June 30th, the school fiscal year end. The deferral mechanism allows for the township, via a resolution passed by the Township Council, which we'll show you later in this selection, to count as a municipal surplus on December 31st the property taxes that were billed to the taxpayers as school taxes through the following June. For the layperson, this is really the key point. If I have $100 in my bank account, but I owe Joe 50 of those dollars, I can't assume or make the recommendation to myself that I have $100 of free surplus, free fund balance. I owe Joe $50 in this example. But based on a council resolution of a governing body, we can simply, the governing body says, you know what, I don't owe Joe right now, I'm going to defer that into the next fiscal year. So all of a sudden, at the end of the fiscal year, I can stand here legally and say I have $100 in my bank account and I have no liabilities. That's a problem with the state fiscal law that has existed for many, many years. But this is the key point. What's coming up in this situation is that they're deferring a very large amount of your taxes and not paying you on time in order to increase their fund balance, or also known as surplus. And we're going to get to that in a little while as to the relationship of the school tax deferral increasing and the township's fund balance decreasing. The very next day in this example, on June 1st, on January 1st, a deferred school taxes becomes a liability due and payable to the school districts. If the township spends the deferred taxes, it can create a cash flow crunch. In this case, Clinton Township has done this very thing, maximizing deferrals and creating financial challenges for the school district. The township can only replace the expended funds by waiting for additional property tax collections, really next year's school taxes, to arrive. I'd like to turn it over to Joe at this point.
Thank you. I'm wondering when I'm going to get the $50 from John Barrett. That's a separate discussion. So we have a few slides here just to talk a little bit about the trend on the municipal finances. So all the information that's being reported here has been taken out of the township's audits and budgets. So just as an example, on December 31st, 2003, the township reported a surplus of $5.7 million and deferred school taxes in the amount of $3.3 million. So the net positive position of the township at that time was $2.3 million because its surplus exceeded its deferred tax liability as of that date. Fast forward to December 31st, 2008, the township's reporting a surplus of $5 million. So it's down about $700,000 from 5 years earlier, but the deferred school tax balance has increased to $6.6 million at this time. So there's a net deficit position of $1.5 million for the township. And 2008 was the first year where the increasing deferrals essentially drove the township into a negative net position. On December 31st, 2016, the township reports a surplus of only $49,000 and deferred school taxes, and this includes both the regional school district and the local school district, of almost $19.5 million. So the deficit position for the township has increased to almost $19.4 million as of December 31st, 2016. So essentially, over the past 7 years, the township deficit net position has increased almost $18 million, or an average of almost $2.5 million annually. So we have a slide up here that shows the breakdown of the school fiscal year, the amount of taxes that are being requested for the July 1st to December 31st period, and also for the January 1st to June 30th period. Now again, this is important because the township's fiscal year ends on December 31st. So historically, we can see that the school district has requested approximately in prior years 59% of the levy for the July through December period. And then in recent years, that's actually dropped down a little bit, starting in 2015-16 and continuing to 2017-18. Where the school district is requesting approximately 57%. So you can see that the payment requests that have been issued by the Board of Education to the township have remained very stable. Now, what gets interesting here is this slide is showing, again, it's the school board's fiscal year levy, which is certified on the calendar year. The municipality is collecting the full school year levy on the calendar year basis. You can see what the amount by year that the school district has been requesting for the July to December period. The balance due that the municipality has already billed to the property taxpayers. And then the key column here is the school tax deferral as of December 31st per the school district's audits or unaudited financial statements. So back in 2011, you can see that the school levy was $24.5 million. The school tax request was $14.6 million through December 31st, leaving an unpaid balance of $9.9 million to be collected from January to June. As of that date, the township had deferred $8 million through a resolution adopted by the council, leaving $1.9 million worth of school taxes which had been billed to the property taxpayers but not yet paid. So this $8 million left an unpaid positive balance. But what you can see over time is that the deferral amount goes up annually. So it was $8 million in 2011, it was $9 million in 2012, $10 million in 2013, and so on and so forth, until we get down to 2016, where the deferred amount is $12,452,000. The problem is there was only $10.5 million unpaid to the school district at that point. So essentially, there's $1.8 million in a negative position here. I do want to point out that for 2017, the resolution hasn't been adopted yet by the Township Council. So for presentation purposes, we've just assumed that the deferral amount is the same. You can see that according to the levy, the school district's fiscal levy for 17 is actually a little bit lower than it was in 2016. So the maximum deferral amount would actually be a little bit lower for that year anyway. This slide shows the trend. The green line is the reported municipal surplus, which also includes the balance of the deferred school taxes. So you can see in 2004, the reported municipal surplus exceeded $5 million. And then according to the trend line down here in 2017, that's the $49,000 that was reported as municipal surplus at the end of 12/31/16. The red line shows the amount of school taxes that have been deferred annually. And again, going back, you know, many years ago, the number was plus or minus five and a half million. And then starting in 2009, the number increases every year up to the point where we now have the $19+ million deferred by the township. So this amount in between here represents that, you know, roughly $18 million of deficit net position that has accumulated over time. This is just a copy of the resolution that was adopted in March of 2017 by the Municipal Council, just establishing the amount of the deferred school taxes on for both the local and the regional school district. And these numbers add up to the roughly $19.5 million that I referenced earlier. And finally, this clip here is just an extract from the Requirements of Audit Municipal Manual, which is issued by the Division of Local Government Services, Department of Community Affairs, State of New Jersey. So essentially, this is the municipal oversight agency at the state level. And what this is saying, basically, is that it's really an undesirable condition to continually defer taxes. And in fact, the state was recommending that the deferred school tax liabilities eventually be liquidated. The problem in Clinton Township is you've got $19.5 million worth of deferred school taxes that are not easily reimbursed. So that is the crux of the problem, is that on an annual basis, the amount of deferred school tax balances has been increasing every year. Whereas the amount that's been requested by the school district has remained relatively stable at that 57% to 59% of the levy. So I hope that kind of summarizes the condition that we're currently finding ourselves in, and I'd be happy to answer any questions, as will John.
Any members of the board have any questions for Mr. Kelly or for Mr. Barrett?
I got to think we all do, but okay, just so. Quick question, just so I understand the topic, and thank you for the presentation, because it is a fairly dense topic for the layperson to understand. So the gist of this, and I'm trying to reconcile this as I'm listening to the presentation, so there's $19 million in deficit. Money's collected ostensibly under the auspices of going to the regional high school and the school district that have been deferred. So then am I to understand that the township has been collecting taxes in the second half of the year, they've been collecting the following year's taxes to pay the current year, i.e. paying the mortgage with the credit card?
Essentially, yes.
Okay. It's all legal. Township has broken no laws here, correct? Where did that money go? Are you aware? And will the state forgive that debt?
I'll answer the second part of your question first. No, they won't forgive that debt.
Okay.
And there actually was another district in Hunterdon County where the several districts formed to combine a regional, and I believe it was West Amwell.
Yeah.
Actually had to issue bonds to pay back the deferred school taxes. So they issued debt.
Well, so I have
to
a question.
Fix that.
If I got $19 million in debt and $49,000 cash on hand, how am I going to get a bond?
Well, that's a great question. I hope Clinton Township is not going for a rating anytime soon from Moody's or Standard & Poor's, because it won't be pretty.
Okay. I've got a lot of questions, but I'm going to let the other board members go. So then we've been operating basically then sort of this district has been operating on roughly a flat tax levy for the past several years. But what's been happening is we're sort of running out of runway because they're running out of future years' obligations to pay us in the current year, correct?
The school taxes have been deferred to the maximum allowed. So there is no more deferral to make.
Right.
And in fact, if the school levy decreases, the municipality actually has to make up that difference, half of the levy reduction.
As you did your research on this and your findings, obviously you looked at our finances, you looked at the township finances.
Mm-hmm. Kevin.
Kevin, can
we
you
can't
speak
hear
into
you
the
with
mic?
I'm sorry. So can you guys all hear me better? So as you did your research on this, you looked at the district's finances and you looked at the township's finances. And I guess the question is, if we're deferring that money, it's deferred as an obligation to us, but the money was still collected.
It was eventually collected, yes. The issue that can arise is that as the municipality's surplus has decreased, right, so they only have $49,000 worth of reported surplus, their cash balances decrease as well. So in the past, when only a portion of the school levy was deferred, there was plenty of cash on hand.
Right.
Now, what has to, you know, in theory, what could happen is the municipality has to wait until it makes its next quarterly tax collection. So why it's particularly difficult in this situation is that the Clinton Township School District has very large debt service payments due in January of every year.
Right.
So at the end of December, if the municipality is suffering from a cash crunch, it has to wait until February 1st for its next set of collections to come in. So, you know, that 30-day period there becomes significant because the board has to pay its bondholders.
That's right. So I guess the other question I've got is $19 million over a set period of time, you look at the township's finances, did they incur any sort of liabilities that would address 19? I'm confused as to where $19 million of collected taxes has gone to.
So, you know, the cash has been expended. So essentially, you know, referring back to my slide, is that on average, the municipality is spending $2.5 million more per year than they're collecting through their own budgetary operations, because they're counting as municipal surplus these school taxes that were collected but not yet paid.
Okay, that's okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. Ford?
Is the deferment of, you got it from record, so if they defer the payment, that's in the public budget?
It's reported in their unaudited financial statements in their annual audit, but the interesting thing, and this is one of those only in New Jersey situations, it's not a balance sheet liability. So you'll only see it in the notes to their financial statements. It's like an off balance sheet financing. So you won't see school tax, deferred school taxes on their balance sheet.
The $50 he owes you is not on the books.
Correct.
Thank you, because I wasn't going to pay him back.
Yeah. So everybody knows about it, but it's not on the balance sheet.
Do they have to, so when they, do they have to do this each year, they have to put it to a vote in the town council?
If they want to increase the amount of the deferral, it would have to go on as a municipal resolution. So every year that the
so that's happened every year, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And then second question is, if, so in 2017, the budget's 24 odd million and they paid 14 odd million and the delta's 10 million, how do you defer more than what is owed?
I would pose that question to the municipal council. You really can't. You can't have, they're reporting essentially prepaid school taxes and deferred school taxes in their financial statements.
So thank you. Are you saying, so that they're basically guessing and telling whomever they're reporting this to and passing this resolution, they're saying, we estimate the levy to be X, so we're gonna defer Y?
No, the levy's known.
Right.
But basically what they're doing, so, you know, you've seen that 57 to 59% of that levy was paid to the district by December 31st. So that leaves 43%, 41 to 43% unpaid. Well, they're deferring up to 50%, and then they're calling the difference prepaid taxes.
But how do you defer what's known in the budget? We've told them 24 odd million is there.
Right.
They've paid 14. They know the difference. How do you defer more than what you know?
Again, it's an only New Jersey moment.
Wrong.
Yeah, it's you know, it basically, the in my opinion, the maximum amount that would be able to be deferred using this mechanism is the amount that was unpaid as of December 31st. But the town has chosen to defer.
And it's
defer
not 50%
more.
Of the delta, it's 50% of the total year's budget that you can defer?
50% of the tax levy.
Okay.
So. Yep. So okay.
So you can defer 50% of the tax levy, whether or not you owe 50% of that tax levy left in that second half of the year.
Yeah, yes. If you owe 70, you can still, yeah. So my question, and I know a little about this, in that the amount of deferment is capped at a certain percentage of the overall levy, correct?
50%.
50%.
Yes.
So if they want to defer more taxes next year, we have to raise taxes.
Well, your tax levy is determined based upon your budgetary.
Right, but if the council has to defer, if they find themselves in a position where they feel they need to defer more than the amount they are,
mm-hmm.
we'd actually have to raise our tax levy to let them do that.
That wouldn't happen only because as distinct governing bodies, whatever you tell the municipality to raise based upon your adopted budget, they have to raise that, so...
Right.
No, I think...
Let me say it another way.
Okay.
The only way that the township would be able to defer more taxes is if this body and the regional high school increase the levy.
Well, yes, correct.
Okay.
Plus, it also should be noted that the resolution that you saw on the slide was actually done in March into the new fiscal year. So they actually had to go back in order to create a $49,000 fund balance. They had to squeeze the lemons on all the deferrals and get as much as possible in order to get a positive fund balance. And as I said, it went from a few million in the past down to $49,000. So there are some mechanisms that they could do, any municipality could do, in order to increase their cash flow. Unfortunately, there's an expense to that, and that's what's known as a tax anticipation note, where they can go out for short-term financing and also pay an interest rate on that. In the review of their finances, we've identified some of their capital outlay that they budgeted for certain projects that could be have small haircut in order to fund that. So we've actually offered them opportunities in order to increase their fund, their cash flow, and to make you guys whole. But there also should be some form of a mechanism for them to unwind this position, just like it's up here on the slide. You know, it's okay to, in New Jersey's eyes, as Joe said, is only in New Jersey can you have these type of issues. But the reality is there has to be some long-term goal, because the only way that they can survive, because what's happened, you said, where did the money go to, that $19 million? So what's happened over in the past is that if they've increased their fund balance year over year with this mechanism of a deferred school taxes, the other number you have to look is how much of that, in essence, artificial surplus or deferred school charge generated surplus did they use to balance their budget in years during this period of time. So they actually anticipated surplus that you and I, in this example of Joe and I, $50 each, you know, they've actually used that money, and instead of raising their taxes in accordance with their spending, they haven't made any service cuts from what we could see. It seems like their budget remains stable, if not gone up. But they've used this $19 million as revenue over this period of time to the tune of about $2.5 million every year on average. So that's where the money went. It was all absorbed through the municipal operations. Had they raised taxes and kept that deferral low, then you wouldn't be in this situation. We wouldn't get to know you tonight.
Gotcha. Okay.
I have a couple of questions, if I may. Do you recall the percentage of the collection rate here in Clinton Township?
What?
It's excellent.
Hear you.
It's very good.
The collection
but I don't have that at my fingertips.
One of the options, I believe, is that they had a standard sale.
Yes, they don't have an accelerator.
So there's two types of tax sales. So everything that's delinquent, say at the end of 2017, that the tax collector says is owed to the municipality, which comprises your taxes, regional, county, maybe even a fire district, that liability is sold in 2018. And that's one of the budget items on sheet 30 of the budget is reserve for uncollected taxes. The township has to look at their historic collection rates and say, with a good certainty, how much conservatively can I anticipate a collection rate? And say it's 98%, say it's 99%. They have to levy 101% of the levies, and that one non-cash item in the municipal budget is called reserve for uncollected taxes. So what we've identified is that they could move to an accelerated tax sale, which would up their percentage of collections before the fiscal year end. And not to bore everybody, but anything that's delinquent on the 11th day of the 11th month, so November 11th, would go into the tax sale process, and the tax collector would sell those delinquencies before the 12/31/17 mark. So what that would do is actually increase cash to the municipality, because they wouldn't have a taxes receivable as an asset on the books in the subsequent year, and also reduce the reserve for uncollected taxes in future years' budgets. So there is some belt tightening that needs to be done, but an accelerated tax sale, while it might be inconvenient to the residents, because sometimes they're making real-life decisions of, do I pay for Christmas presents or do I pay the township? That can be a very emotional decision. Once you understand what a tax sale is, they're simply selling the delinquency.
So the issue at hand is you reward the good taxpayers of any municipality by having an accelerated tax sale, because if you have a standard sale, you're actually having to raise money in the succeeding year's budget because you may or may not have a high or low collection rate. And we see situations where there's regional bankruptcies or job, you know, problems during the recession. You had certain pockets of the area, and also with bankruptcies, a municipality cannot collect taxes that are due a municipality if the person is under bankruptcy protection. So there's all those type of variables that you need to take a look at when you're managing a municipal finance budget.
Go ahead.
Okay. Has the rating agency Moody's made any statements in regarding to the practice of deferred school taxes in any of their reports?
Do you want to speak to that?
Sure. You know, they don't look at it as a desirable condition. We haven't seen a rating on Clinton Township since they've reported the $49,000 in municipal surplus, but you know, the next rating is not going to be as favorable as the last one that they issued. But Moody's, in their report, does recognize that deferred school taxes are an off-balance sheet liability, and they do, you know, they do consider that a, you know, a pretty serious matter.
Thank you.
What's the,
go ahead.
Oh, would there be a point at which the state actually takes over their budget?
You know, again, this comes down to it's legal to do this. I would suggest that the state would take an interest in reporting a prepaid and a deferred at the same time. But the state, because of, you know, budget cuts down there, are only required to review municipal budgets every 3 years. And the other 2 years are conducted under what's called self-review, where the CFO basically certifies that, you know, their budget's in compliance with municipal law. You know, this is not illegal, but it's just incredibly unwise what's being done.
No, I'll say two questions. When was the last, so out of 3 year review, when was the last one for the township? And then how often does Moody, when's the next Moody rating?
I do not know when their cycle is. We can get that to you. That's public information as to when the local reviews are, for the exception when they have FEMA aid, some storm aid, that prevents them from doing a local examination. And your other question was?
When was the township review and then the Moody's?
Oh, okay. So we actually looked up the Moody's report, and it goes back a few years where they identify. What they do is they do a report, and then if you have outstanding debt, they do what's called a maintenance call, and they'll call the township, review the finances every few years if they have outstanding debt, which they do. Moody's has not done a recent review, but I would anticipate that if the municipality were to go out to bond, they're going to need that rating. And you know, that's something, the higher the rating, the lower interest costs are for borrowing. So you want that. And any investor, what normally happens on the ratings calls that we've been, you know, CFOs for the town, these rating agencies hone in on this. They know it. I mean, they come out with some very prepared questions, and they'll ask, what's your 5-year plan to surplus? And in this case, they've been deferring school taxes as their remedy to providing surplus. Now they're up against the wall financially, so there's not much wiggle room at this point. But once again, I'm not here to predict the future, and I'm not here to cast aspersions on the entity. They have their own government entity, council, and professionals running in that municipality. But if I were asked as to what the remedies would be, you need to do either some, you need to actually consult with the state, because the kind of waivers that they need right now in order to balance their ship and right their sails is something that could be also done under a distressed city status, or basically a modified fiscal oversight. I've worked in two towns that had that, so any decisions that would need to be made would also be in cooperation with the Director of Local Governmental Services and their appointees.
Well, like you said, nothing's been done illegal yet, and nothing's blown up yet, but everything you've shown raises a concern.
Yes.
Just a final question, and just to sort of put it in real terms, and I know you don't want to engage in hypotheticals, but indulge me. $49,000 of surplus. There is a blizzard in February, and it costs $100,000 more than anticipated in the budget for snow removal. Where does that leave the town?
Sure. There's two mechanisms that they can do. First of all, if they had surplus funds, and I always use surplus, but unexpended budgetary funds in certain line items, such as police salaries and wages, it might have been three retirements that would loosen up $100,000. They could do one of two things. They could transfer the money in the last 2 months, so November and December for this fiscal year they're under. If there is no money available, and it's what you say it was a storm like Hurricane Sandy, those problems, if it was a declared emergency, they could raise that or declare a special emergency, appropriate the $100,000, and depending on the type of emergency, it could be a 3 or 5 year emergency. In the case of a 5 year emergency and your $100,000, they would only have to raise $20,000 of a deferred charge for the next 5 years. That's how you kind of smooth over the unexpecteds, the what ifs. The old adage, you need to have surplus for that rainy day fund. That's what you need to, especially when you have a rating agency, and we thrive off that. You know, yeah. In private, we high five each other when we get good ratings, don't we?
Yeah,
okay. So, you know, that's the kind of excitement we get. So we enjoy that. When we see certain things like this, it's a huge liability for the future. And that's a problem. So the sky has not fallen down yet, but right now you need to start taking a look at how they're doing things, how you're doing things. And really it comes down to the school tax deferral as being something that the general public doesn't really get involved with. They see a resolution go through a governing body, and you know, they don't think anything of it. Oh, we can do that, it's 50%, everybody. But there's good practices, best practices, and poor practices. This is one of those poor practices, as you said, that's not illegal in the state.
Okay, thank you very much, guys.
I have one last question. We're starting our budgeting process. If our budget is reduced in total dollar volume from last year, does that present a problem for them?
It does, because the maximum deferral can only be 50% of the levy. So if the levy goes down, it's going to be a charge against their municipal operations, and it will be a reduction of their fund balance, their surplus.
Any other questions from members of the board? Seeing none, what I'd like to do is break a little bit of process here, and I'll open up the floor right now to our first public comment section on agenda items only. And what I'd like to do is, if anybody has any questions for these two gentlemen based on their presentation, if you would step up to the mic, state your name and address. The same rules apply. You have 3 minutes to make a statement, ask questions. It will not be an interactive, so state your question, and then I know they'll do the best that they can to answer it. So if anybody has any questions in regards to their presentation, please feel free to step up to the microphone at this time.
Tim Panos, 39 Regional Road.
I'm sorry, say again, sir?
It's Timothy Panos, 39 Regional Road. Just a quick question. The payment schedule that the board has submitted to the town, do they have an obligation to make those payments in a timely fashion? Or what's the amount of time that they can hold off on making good on those payments in the tax collection? Thank you.
There's a law that addresses the minimum amount of taxes that have to be made. 20% of the levy is required to be paid in August, and then it gets a little gray. It 60 days worth of expenses can be requisitioned at a time. So that's where it kind of comes down to, you know, the nuance of, well, what are 60 days worth of expenditures? So the law is written vaguely enough that it's not just here's my payment schedule. But traditionally what happens with school districts and municipalities is there's a payment schedule that's adopted by the school district. It's sent to the municipality, and then they requisition those funds according to that payment schedule. So there's two components to the tax levy. There's the general fund, which is the operating budget, and then there's the debt service fund, which is generally requisitioned when the debt service is due. And in the case of the Clinton Township School District, that's January and July of each year. So it's not a hard and fast law, and, you know, in cases like this, it could be subject to interpretation.
Would anybody else like to ask a question?
Lana Brennan, my question is, they paid this last 2 months. Now, what happens come, say, January, because that's when we're due for the taxes to be paid again. If for some reason they don't pay, is there a certain, like, at what point, I know you just mentioned 60 days, what happens if that is not done? What happens if we do not get paid in whatever, however much time they are allowed to be late or whatever, what does that do?
So the school district would have to dip into its own reserves in order to pay expenses if they're not, you know, the levy's not collected by the township. And again, in January, there's over $1 million debt service payment that's due that month. So that's that tight window between December 31st and the next tax collection date of February 1st that could be, you know, present the next real challenge.
And taxes are requisitioned by the board during the months of November and December as well. So there isn't a break there until January.
What would it would take the state, as Mr. Kelly had mentioned, is understaffed at the division because of budgetary cuts. So they would, there's no secret bell that goes off or, you know, at the state that says, hey, Clinton didn't pay their taxes, their school taxes. So it would be up to, number one, if there were folks on the governing body of the township that could petition the state and say, listen, our elected leader, our mayor, or our administration is not making these tax. Can you look into this? Or it would be a petition from a private citizen or the school board that would say, hey, state, you know, Clinton's not making their payments. Is there anything you can do to step in? But once again, you're talking about a situation. By the time you remedy that, your school could be basically on fumes because they've had to make, because once again, if they don't make the debt service payment from the school, school district's in default. They changed that rule a few years ago. Yeah, if it was a day late, they'd let you slide. But you're in default. So it's very important that the Board of Education, any municipality, has the money on hand to make those obligations. Pension payments, debt service, heating and electric bills, insurance payments, health care payments. We can't have employees, you know, we lapsed our payments. Payroll. Everybody likes paychecks after a while. So. There, as I said, there is no instant mechanism, but it would be onus on the aggrieved party. And of course, our township, our board attorney can go into that at a later time if he so desires, those type of remedies. That's not what we're here to do. But hopefully I've answered your question.
Anyone else like to ask any questions relative to the presentation this evening? No? Seeing none. Thank you very much. I appreciate you providing clarity around this issue. I know it's very complex. You guys did a wonderful job in making it clear for everyone to understand. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And Pamela, we'll leave this open for you, for your slide.
As I stated earlier this evening, the Board of Education is committed to being aware and informed of events or actions that may positively or negatively impact or interfere with the educational or financial integrity of the district. The township's current financial situation is one of those circumstances that the Board of Education has become very educated and informed on, and fully understands the potential impact that it can have on the district and our children. In conjunction with that knowledge and understanding of the financial situation, and without the township's written commitment that it can remit the school tax dollars to the district according to the board's approved schedule, the Board of Education will vote tonight on whether or not to put in place precautionary measures to protect the educational and financial integrity of the Clinton Township School District. I think everyone here tonight, after listening to this presentation, can see the potential danger we're in the month of January with a very large debt service payment due if we don't get paid. And it takes 45 days for us to get a tax anticipation note for ourselves to ensure that our staff gets paid and we can pay our monthly payments. So this evening I'm going to propose a resolution for the board to vote on. If approved by the Board of Education, this proposed resolution would specifically allow Dr. Fiander, Superintendent of Schools, and Mr. McManus, School Business Administrator, to initiate and execute a tax anticipation note in a fashion provided by law if the district will not be able to meet its financial obligations. I want to give you a couple of examples of those financial obligations. First, to pay our teachers and staff their salary, to make healthcare benefit payments, and pay for other critical items such as special education tuition, professional fees, and utilities. A tax anticipation note, as Mr. Kelly and Mr. Barrett said, is essentially a loan. The resolution that I'm about to propose to the Board of Education will also give Mr. Gagliardi, the board attorney, permission to take any action necessary to secure the legally required payments of tax revenue from Clinton Township and seek reimbursement for all expenses and interest incurred by the Board of Education in connection with the issuance of any financial notes. Once again, I would like to repeat, this resolution is for precautionary measures only. I'm looking for a motion for the following resolution, please. Action item 18PB-001. Whereas pursuant to NJSA 54:4-75, a municipality collects property taxes and holds them in trust for the county and local school district. And whereas the municipality is obligated to remit those payments according to a defined schedule. And whereas the board approved a municipal tax payment schedule for the 2017-18 school year at its April 24, 2017 meeting. And whereas upon inquiry made by the board, Clinton Township advised that it will not provide the board with a defined payment schedule, nor will the township commit to the board's payment schedule. And whereas without Clinton Township's regular payments of the tax monies due to the board in a timely manner, the board will be forced to defer payment on various critical items such as utilities, professional fees, special education tuition payments, and the like, and may be forced to do so again. And whereas in order to meet its expenses, boards of education are permitted to borrow money with interest rates up to 6% per annum by issuing tax anticipation notes pursuant to NJSA 18A:22-42. And whereas the board has many expenses it cannot and will not defer, such as those related to employee compensation and benefits. And whereas, should Clinton Township not remit the board's taxes in accordance with its proposed tax payment schedule, the board may be required to borrow money in order to meet its expenses, which it will be required to pay back with interest. Now therefore be it resolved that the board not should the board not receive timely payments in accordance with the payment schedule that is approved at its April 24, 2017 meeting, the board hereby authorizes the superintendent and business administrator to take action to raise the appropriate revenue necessary to meet its expenses by issuing tax anticipation notes in accordance with NJSA 18A:22-42. And now therefore be resolved that should the board not receive timely payments in accordance with the payment schedule that is approved at its April 24, 2017 meeting, the board hereby authorizes the board attorneys to take any and all legal action necessary to secure the legally required payments of tax revenue from Clinton Township, and to seek reimbursement for all expenses and interest incurred by the board in connection with the issuance of any notes. I'm looking for a motion, please, for action item 18PB001.
Motion.
Second.
Mr. Malloy, Ms. McLaughlin, a second. Any questions?
I have a couple of questions. Just from the description we just got, there's a that gray area of possibly 60 days of when they might pay, and it's a 45-day period to get a note. Is it a 45-day period every time we want to do that, or is it set up and then it's you've got the trigger, you can pull it at a shorter time period, such that, in fact, we only have about a two-week window to make a decision about this each time, and this seems like it can be a vicious cycle. So do we have an appreciation of when we would do this? You know, we have certain finances available to us, but it seems like it could become a continuous problem of costs for everybody. If the town is in the legal gray area, and we are in a 45-day clock each time, mm-hmm. that this could repeat itself mm-hmm. over and over.
Correct.
I'm concerned that we could be pulling the trigger on multiple debt services and then get the payment 5 days later, and then we've wasted money and time. So I'm just concerned about the timing of how this will be triggered. And I understand Dr. Finder will look at the finances each time of what can be maintained with available budget and surplus. Mm-hmm. So I just want to raise a concern that we don't become into a cycle of this repeating, because we can a bit concerned and then the township pays 5 days later.
Right, so if we go in motion of executing the tax anticipation note from start to finish, it's 45 days. If they pay us 5 days after we begin the execution of that note, then we stop it and probably incur very little to no expenses. So if they do pay us, that's wonderful, and then we don't have to go down the road.
It's not all the expenses up front just to initiate the process.
Not from what I'm aware.
So I'm not your bond counsel, but in a general way, I can answer your question. So if you think about the act of borrowing money from a financial institution, there are closing costs, which you will pay even if you pay all the money back the day after the loan closes, right? There's nothing that can be done about that. The interest charges, obviously, will be virtually nothing if you got the money 5 days after you got the loan. So there undoubtedly will be costs associated with borrowing, even if you can suddenly pay all the money back shortly after.
I'm almost thinking before we actually get the money, Dr. Finder starts the 45-day clock, and then 5 days after that clock has started, we get our money. You know, are there costs incurred for that kind of process, just to start the paperwork?
I don't think there are costs associated just with starting the paperwork. And given particularly what you're looking at with January, I think obviously you're providing your chief school administrator and your business administrator with some discretion to start that ball rolling. Because in addition to all of your regular operating costs, you simply cannot invite the catastrophe associated with that missing even by a day, that $1 million debt service payment in January.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky.
Yes.
Mrs. Redaguda.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderoff. Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. I have one additional item under President's comments. Last month, the Clinton Township Education Association and the Clinton Township Board of Education made a public statement and announced their joint commitment to a collaborative process that would include the development and implementation of a core set of values that will guide the parties through all aspects of our relationship. Both parties are happy to announce that they successfully collaborated and developed a core set of values designed to specifically guide their working relationship. It is our intent and the belief of both parties that the established core values will help to transform the district into one that unites all parties in a mutual pursuit of providing the highest quality education possible for the children of Clinton Township. And on behalf of the Board of Education, I would like to thank Ellen Sidbury, Christine Lodato, and Chuck Roberto for sitting down with Mrs. McLaughlin and myself and Dr. Feyender and working through the process of developing these core values. And with that said, during this process as well, both parties began negotiations. We finalized ground rules, exchanged proposals, and together we went through each other's proposals. We'll be meeting this Saturday to continue our negotiations process. So with that said, I'd like to now move on to the report of the Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Feyender.
Thank you. I am going. Oh. You're going to lower the mic. Okay, I need technical assistance.
No, I'm just going to break this thing.
Okay.
We've got to loosen it. There we go. Better?
Yes, thank you. All right. Hold on. I'm having a technical. Everybody, pair share for just a moment.
This is the talk amongst
you
yourselves.
You care and you share.
This is the talk amongst yourselves thing.
For the perp.
Let's see if I can get it to come up. All right. I honestly don't use. All right, Judy, you'll just get me started getting the thing going. Thank you for your patience. Oh, this is down here. Okay. Yes. Good evening. I have a report for the month of October to share with you. The first part of the report is enrollment. In October 2015, at this time, there were 1,408 students. Last year at this time, 1,334. And today I report to you that there are 1,263 students in Clinton Township Schools. I also am required to report suspensions. During the month of October to date, we had one day in school, one half day in school, and one day out of school suspension, all at the middle school. One of the things I learned that I also have to report to you is the period from January 1st, 2017 to June 30th, 2017, HIV violence and vandalism report. To make this easier, I put it on a slide so I don't have to read it to you. These are two reporting periods side by side. So it's July through December, and then January through June 30th. And those are the categories. July's a slow month for vandalism, violence, and weapons because nobody's in school. I think that makes part of the difference in the reporting. Unduplicated totals. The next is cost of vandalism. Incidents involving cost to the district were zero at both times. And then you can see side by side the two reporting periods that we are required to make to you in terms of notifications, suspensions, expulsions, etc. Then there's the category of offenders and victims. And finally, the program provided, the assignments, the program, the services, whether it was in-district, home assignment, or out-of-district. So as required by law, the Board of Education needs to know these two reporting periods. I also want to let you know that tonight you will be voting on, I add an extra A, it's not a QASAC, it's QSAC, my apologies. And annually we fill out this report, and if you're involved in the school business, you know it's extensive. There's many categories. Two office staff told me the first year they did it, they thought they would leave because it was so, but we seem to have a reporting system in place. So tonight you will be voting that we submitted the statement of assurances. And just because school is so much more fun than all of these reports, I wanted to share a little bit of what's happened in October. We've been celebrating those who have earned tenure this year. That was at Patrick McGarren School. We have disquisitions, which is a big word for sharing information and research articles in our administrative leadership team meetings, and Sue had a great idea that moment. And just capturing some of our employees at work. Darren is at my desk running the show, and he thinks that's fun. And I don't know what these people were doing at the middle school that day, but I caught them on camera. Tom Connolly really likes food, and he takes the card around as if he is an airline attendant. These are our Grand Valley School celebrants. Lieutenant Bird, who is fantastic, came in and did some training with us on security procedures. I mean, he is amazing. In fact, we're bringing him back to the district so all the faculty can hear him in February, I believe it is. We had literacy talks with some middle school faculty and administrators. So excited about the program the students are doing at Round Valley School to collect souls for souls. The Annandale Fire Company. Does anyone know which teacher is in that costume? Who was it? Nice. And I read where the reason that the fire, they do amazing production, but they want the children to know that that's a teacher in there and it's safe and it's somebody, you don't have to be afraid. It's really very clever. And then we have some volunteer moms who are having a great time in the book fair. And we're really excited to announce the latest arrival of a faculty member, Elijah.
11 pounds?
Yes. She said, I forget what she commented, she gave birth to a toddler or something.
Seriously?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And coming up in October still is pumpkin carving and PTA fall celebrations. So that concludes my report, except one amendment that I'm asking in Action 18-SU-010 to add HIV report 54402 on your addendum, inasmuch as the students don't necessarily have incidents that coincide with our reporting of the agenda, we had to bring that to you today. So thank you very much.
I'm looking for a motion, please, for 18-SU-010 to 18-SU-012.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. Olowski. Second, please.
Second.
Any questions for Dr. Fyander this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes, to all, but are the executive session minutes on here?
That's BA resolution.
Not all right. So I'm yes to all on this one, then.
Okay. Dr. Ford?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion
passed.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comments section. To our first public comments section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This too is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will make at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comments section. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools as appropriate. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 30 minutes.
Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I know I probably could look back at previous agendas, but do we know what our numbers are looking at for the HIB? You gave essentially last year. Do we know what the year before looked like? Because it seems like the numbers, obviously the one only reflected 4 months of school where the other reflected six, but the numbers seem to fly up, and you know, I just wanted to know where we're at, if it looks similar to last year, if they're up, they're down, they're the same.
Good evening. Right. I'm Faith Furman. I live at 3 Cobblestone Lane, and I am also one of the school nurses at Spruce Run School.
And I'm Susan Strait. I live at 34 South Gate, and I'm also a school nurse.
I would, you'll be discussing tonight an agenda item regarding a contract with the Delta T Group to provide substitute school nurses as needed at our 4 schools in the district. And you are going to be paying Delta T $37.50 per hour. And we are a little bit concerned. First of all, I don't know if we understand if this means we would not try to use the current substitute nurses that have been approved by Hunterdon County and have a certificate in Hunterdon County and also have been put on our approved list with the Board of Education. And if they are not going to be used in the future in that way, you know, we have a little bit of concern about having an agency providing coverage for our offices. And I would like the board, I think Susan and Michelle Vihay as well, we would suggest perhaps you could raise the rate you're paying our current substitute nurses to at least come close to what you would be paying this agency to make it a little more, you know, equitable for them to continue to want to serve our district in that way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing none, Dr. Finder, can you please address both, please?
Okay. On the HIB, I don't know the answer to that, but I can get it for us. Okay, I'm happy to investigate. As far as the school nurses, when I came, I believe, and perhaps Judy and Sue and Michelle can remind me, we were having such a hard time getting school nurses, and it was suggested that we reach out through Delta T regarding them being able to access. So the question of raising the rate, I believe that has happened in the district. Again, I could find out. But I do recognize that it's not competitive in the marketplace, so this is something we can look at if the board would want to entertain that in the personnel committee, perhaps to see if raising it would be let us hire our own substitutes as opposed to going through Delta T. I also know that when substitutes go through Delta T, they have to pay a fee to be a part of that, so the employees themselves have to invest in that company. So I'm happy to take that back to the committee and look at it for consideration.
Okay, thank you. I'd like to open the floor for first recognition of the public. If anyone would like to address the board this evening on any items relative to the school, please step up to the microphone. Same guidelines apply here as they do for public comment section on agenda items only.
Allison Ford, 7 Oak Ridge Road. I'm concerned that Mrs. Ford, I'm sorry, can you just step maybe closer?
I'm going to be kissing the damn thing in a minute.
Maybe turn it up. So, thank you. There you go.
Allison Ford, 7 Oak Ridge Road.
Can you all hear me? I'm concerned that as of October the 9th, we have been left without a director of special services. There has not been an interim placed to replace Ada Steinheimer, and I'm wondering what the position is on this.
Thank you.
Danielle Nugent. At night, I reside at 145 Main Street in Lebanon, and during the day, I reside at Patrick McGarrett School in classroom 34. I just wanted to talk about the book fair, because who doesn't like to talk about book fairs? You may or may not know that teachers get to make wish lists at the book fair, and we are all ever so squealy and grateful when those get fulfilled by our wonderful family, so we appreciate that. But also, you might not know that, here's where I start to go on script, the Clinton Township Education Association knows that what we do matters, whether in our classrooms, on the playgrounds, or at the book fair. This is why the CTEA is thrilled to be able to support the PTA with the purchase of $1,000 worth of books from their book fair. Not only does this support the PTA, but it also benefits our students. The books purchased from the PTA Book Fair are read with our Clinton Township School District students during our Spring Read Across America celebrations, and then kept in our school libraries for years to come. We hope our families and staff enjoyed the book fair, and we thank the PTA for hosting the most exciting event all year. It's like having Barnes & Noble in the classroom. It's just wonderful. So thank you. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Is that just for Patrick McGarrett or everybody?
You can ask a question.
Can I ask a question? Danielle? So is that just for Patrick McGarrett or that's for all the schools?
It's for all schools. We share buildings. So Sue Ann is in two buildings, so she got $250 for students to McGarrett and $250
for. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board this evening? Seeing none, then may we move on to the report of our business administrator?
The items on the agenda are routine items for the business department. And secondly, just a reminder to the board that the next board meeting is November 20th, Monday, November 20th.
Thank you. I'd like to, looking for a motion, please, for action item 18BA. -01 to 18BA-013.
Motion.
Motion, Mrs. McLaughlin. Second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Vanderhoff. Any questions for Mr. McManus this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes. Excuse me. Yes, with a abstention on the executive session minutes. On September 25th.
Can I go back?
Yes.
Can I make a friendly amendment? Can I abstain from the executive session minutes?
That's
so the one I wanted to abstain to last time I wasn't allowed.
Yeah. That's not a friendly amendment.
You can change your vote with the permission of the chair.
Changing my vote.
With the permission of the chair. No problem. Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Yes. Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Moving on to our committee reports, we'll start off with Facilities and Finance. Ms. Alyssa Olasky is the chair of that committee. Ms. Olasky, may we please have your committee's report?
Can I first start off by saying how excited I am that we finally only have 10 action items? Okay. Aside from the payment of monthly bills, I wanted to note a few items. So there, as usual, are several staff reimbursement requests related to seminars, training, and or graduate courses. The Board of Ed approved the emergency school bus evacuation drills for the 17-18 school year. The board also authorizes Mr. McManus to cancel several stale or outstanding checks from the cafeteria account. There are several items related to either home instruction, student aid, student assessment, therapy, parent training, contractor approvals, and or consultant approvals. The board approves the comprehensive maintenance plan for the district for the 17-18 school year, as well as the contract for the biannual inspection and maintenance plan for the PMG and RVS wastewater treatment plants for the remainder of the 17-18 school year. With that, I am excited to put forth a motion for action items 18FF071 through 080.
Thank you, Ms. Olowski. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Vanderhoff, any questions?
I have a question.
Ms. McLaughlin?
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Can you see me down here? I'm all by myself. So on the substitute nurses, if we're approving this group, is this secondary to a list of previously approved subs? I guess I'm confused. So are we still using our previously approved sub nurses?
I don't think it negates them. If we can get them, yes.
So that would be our, I'm just asking.
Oh, that's the first line.
That's our first line?
Yes.
Okay, and this is only as a backup?
As far as I'm aware, it's supplementary so that when we cannot find a substitute via, you know, our normal list, that we have somebody as a backup.
Okay.
I also want to clarify that the rate of $37.50 does not go entirely to the contract nurse, that some of that is collected as a fee by the agency.
Okay.
Any other questions? Seeing none then, may we have a roll call, Mr. McManus, please?
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. Our next committee report this evening is our Personnel Committee. Ms. Vanderhoff is the chair of that committee. Ms. Vanderhoff, may we have your committee's report, please?
Yes, thank you. This month we have 24 items on our agenda for personnel negotiations, and our committee did meet one time since our last board meeting. The action items tonight are 18-PN-098 through 18-PN-122. One item relates to the purchase of an entrepreneurship educational program, startup kit, and supplies for CTMS. One item acknowledges that the New Jersey Department of Education has approved the CTSD ESSA grant application. One item relates to the approval of the submission of the Statement of Assurance for the New Jersey Quality Single Accountability Continuum, or New Jersey QSAC. There are requests for 4 leave of absences or changes to leave of absences on the agenda, and there's one resignation, which will be effective December 4th. There are 5 total staff appointments or staff changes in roles on this month's agenda. 2 items relate to approval for home instruction for students, and 1 item approves someone who will provide training on student programs, ABA strategies, and classroom procedures this year. 5 items relate to various chaperone activities and stipends for the year, and 1 item relates to approval for mentoring. 1 item relates to HIB training, and 2 items relate to student teacher assignments for the year. And finally, an item relates to approval for a teacher assistant to observe our CTSD behavioral therapist in line with a requirement for certification. With that, I'd like to ask for a motion for action items 18-PN-98 to 18-PN-122.
Thank you, Ms. Vanderhoff. We're looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Dr. Foy. Any questions for Ms. Vanderhoff this evening? Seeing none, may we have a roll call?
Mrs. Vanderhoff. Dr. Foy?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes. Thank you, sir. Final regular committee report, our policy and curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we have your committee's report, please?
Sure. We have 3 action items tonight. The third action item relates to field trips for the second grade and the fifth grade, which are field trips that our students have previously gone on and have had successful experiences, so we're glad to have the opportunity for them to go back. The Policy and Curriculum Committee met last week for a lengthy meeting discussing policy. We're in the process of taking our policies from New Jersey school boards and using the Strauss-Esme service. And as we have found, when we are merging some of those policies, there are policies that are missing. And there are some policies that haven't been uploaded correctly back to us. So the way that Dr. Feyender explained it to us, because I said they have to be on the website, when Strauss-Esme merged our policies, they gave us one really long PDF, and it's not nicely organized by a particular policy. So if you go on a website, you will find that Dr. Feyender nicely put up that really long PDF, but if you're looking for organization at this point, it's a work in progress. We have to get Strauss-Esme to go back and send us each individual policy link so that we can put it onto our website.
As a result, we also found that there were some policies that we had previously adopted recently, within the last year or two, that were updated, but that Strauss Esme didn't have when we did the merge. So in action item PC 16 tonight, we are previously approving the deletion, readoption, and reinstatement of some policies and regulations that we previously had adopted because they were missing. So they're updated policies, but they were missing with the merge. So we're kind of a work in progress. We know that the website is frustrating. It's frustrating for us when we're trying to find a policy. And I'm told that they're going to remedy it at some point, right? So we're working on it. With that being said, I have three action items to move forward. Action item 18, PC 16, through action item 18, PC 18.
Thank you, Ms. McLaughlin. I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
Second, Mrs. Olowski. Any questions for Ms. McLaughlin this evening? Seeing none, maybe have a roll call, Mr. McManus.
Dr. Foy.
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin.
Yes.
Mr. Malloy.
Yes.
Mrs. Olowski.
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff.
Yes.
Ms. Grant.
Yes.
Motion passed.
Thank you. The Ad Hoc Committee for the Feasibility of Closing a School does not have a report this evening. I'd like to move on to old business. Are there any board members that would like to bring up any board, old business for the board or of the board this evening? Seeing none then, I'd like to move on to new business. Any board members have any new business they'd like to bring up this evening?
I do.
Ms. McLaughlin?
So it's sort of old business for the board, but it's new business for Dr. Fyander. In the past, many of the board members, particularly myself, have expressed interest in having student presentations at the board meetings. I think it drives home the fact that we're all here volunteering for the students, so we enjoy seeing what the students are learning and what new skills they've acquired. I particularly enjoy the choral concert at, you know, the holiday time. So I would request that, if possible, we could create a schedule to, again, have those student presentations, mm-hmm. because I think they're beneficial to everyone to celebrate our students and what they're doing on a daily basis.
Great.
Thanks.
Any other new business? Mr. Malloy?
To follow on Rachel's point, they are great.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see them. I would suggest if we're doing student presentations, let's make them at 7, so because all the parents of the students come, they can get home and the kids can get home and do their homework earlier. Because they're all going to do their homework, right?
It
should be done already. That's true. The other thing is this is the last board meeting before our election. So to those running, I just wish them all good luck.
Thank you. Any other new business? No, seeing none, I'd like to open the floor for our second recognition of the public. Same parameters that I outlined for the first open session apply here. We will limit this public comment section to 15 minutes.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Cloud Drive. First of all, thank you so much for putting, I actually knew they were back on the website already, because yeah, I'm that person. But, and thank you. My other question was about the feasibility of closing a school. I know there's been a lot of different things going on, but when you guys did the presentation in May, it talked about September having decision, and we're now in October, and I understand, but it would really be great if we could go one way or another, especially seeing the numbers where we're at now, and I know there's a lot of things that go into it, but you know, I know a lot of people have been still talking about it, and it's hard to deal with, but just, it is a lot of indecisiveness, and people want a decision, and, you know, I go either way, but I really can't wait to hear what you guys are going to do. Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board? I would like to review where the committee stands. At the last board meeting, I had mentioned that we were embarking on a cost study to look at the feasibility of consolidating the district in addition to the potential of the cost surrounding of what we would do with a fourth building. We said in the May timeframe we would embark in the cost study over the summertime and have something to say this fall. But when Dr. Villani resigned the board's attention and work and went into finding Dr. Feyender, which is a very long process that took us just about all summer. We worked probably 5 and 6 days a week to over the summer to get that done. So the commitment of trying to get it in the early fall had to take a back seat to get a new leader for our school district. So as I said in the last board meeting, that process has started, and we should be able to report the findings of the cost study sometime before the end of the regular year would be the goal. I don't recall making a commitment that we would make a decision by September, but a cost study was definitely one of the things we did commit to doing, in addition to looking at and continuing to monitor the student enrollment issue. Mr. McManus, sir, may we please read the executive session statement, please?
Whereas while the Byron and Bear Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10-4-6, requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public, NJSA 10-4-12 sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10-4-2 to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer, the nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 60 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business. Now, therefore, be resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return. Looking for a motion.
Motion.
Thank you.
I didn't ask for a motion.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I wanted to ask Dr. Feyender to address Mrs. Ford's question and flipping papers and whatever. So you had a question regarding the replacement of the Director of Special Services, so I'd like to ask Dr. Feyender before we vote to go into executive session to please address that.
Hi, Mrs. Ford. We've been working hard in doing initial screenings for candidates for the directorship. We have 3 semi-finalists who are coming on Wednesday evening, which is 2 days from now. We have a panelist that consists of 2 teacher representatives, 2 administrators, and 2 Board of Education members. And we will be using a behavioral assessment process in which all 3 will be going through all 3 sets of interviewers. And then we have a scoring and rating sheet. They're also doing a writing sample and asking some questions that Alice Steinheimer wrote for them. So they're doing homework. And then we believe we're going to come out with a really fine candidate and a good match. So we're excited about that.
Thank you, Dr. Feyender.
Yes, we're hopeful.
Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Try again. Motion.
Dr. Foy. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Ms. Vandroff. Ms. McLaughlin.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? We are reconvened.
Madam President?
Yes.
I would like to ask that we amend motion 18-SU-010 made earlier to include HIB report tracking number 54297.
Looking for a motion, please, to accept the amendment. Mrs. Olowski, I'm looking for a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Do you need that to get to my goals? You need to.
No, we're not going to do that.
Okay, you sure?
Yeah,
you
yeah, I'll explain.
Okay.
I'm looking for a motion, please, to adjourn the meeting.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Aye.
All in favor? Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.